language. But see, the accounts of Acts in the book of Acts are absolutely vital to the whole thing. And what's happened here with the people that you're talking with, they're not accepting the book of Acts. They're not accepting what he did there at Pentecost and Samaria and those other places. So.
Thank you.
Okay, that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Earl.
Okay. You're welcome to say.
We're going to translate, Jim.
You want to go to chapel, huh?
You want to be translated.
Better translated going on in chapel than there is in here.
Being
translated
into the
king's spirit. I've got my cookies,
Steve.
Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see.
Okay,
let's see.
Okay,
let's see.
Okay,
let's see. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see.
Plus minus one day.
Margin of error.
Yeah. I feel good if I can get the date within a day. You know.
Deviation.
Yeah. Well, we have a vocab quiz coming up this Thursday, according to the... And then we'll have a grammar quiz coming up, grammar and translation coming up the following Thursday. We'll do some review on that. The grammar quiz will involve chapters 53, 54... We had object suffixes on the rest of the perfect, and we had object suffixes on the imperfect. So we're going to have some forms to deal with there. So on the test, you'll be like the one you had last time with it. I'll give you just three verbs that you needed, three regular verbs, call a hifil, call a hifil and a pl, I think.
Are you
those same three ones, and then put the suffixes on. Well, we probably want to do some review even this week, so we don't get so close. We could review this Thursday after we take the vocab quiz, and then whatever we need to the next Tuesday and Wednesday. Does that sound good? A week after the other one. So this Thursday's the vocab, and then a week following will be the grammar. Chapters 53 to 55. And,
On Tuesday.
Oh, no, it'll be on Thursday. I think I've got it down on Thursday.
Tuesday after that is on Greek.
Yeah, I think Tuesday is the Greek one. If we have a...
Oh, really?
I have my marker here, and I can see what I put down. Yeah, I've got Thursday the 7th for the first one, and the 14th Thursday for the grammar.
And then put out the Greek one. The following week?
Yeah, I know the Greek one is a little bit later. I don't know the date there, but it's like...
Getting better.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No, we got to spread out a little bit. I think it'll be... That'll help you. Because this one in grammar... Now, as far as grammar, most of it's going to be 53 and 54. Now, 55 is a long chapter, but most of it, you can't really... It's not the kind of thing I can test you on really easily. But you should be familiar with things like the fact that if you've got a haya in there, that it's ambiguous until you know which way the series picks up. You know, just some technical points like that. We'll discuss that when we go through the review. So we'll start the review at least on Thursday after the vocab quiz. And the vocab quiz should be a little easier this time. You only got three chapters instead of four. Okay. Any other questions on the tests and procedures and format? All right. Well, with that in mind, we shall continue here with translating the book of Genesis. And my marker indicates we left off around verse 9? I don't know if we did verse 9 or... We got done with day 2 at least. Okay. I think we're at verse 9. And Anybody want to volunteer to be first instead of having to pick on John again?
Yeah.
Okay, Eric, go ahead. Give him a little variety in life there. He's probably got it all prepared now, too.
No.
Okay.
My Amar Elohim, Jikabu, Amayim, Mitaka, Hashamayim, El Makom, Eta, Vatere, Ayavasha, Ayohi, Ken.
Okay.
I don't remember the meaning for Kabbalah.
Means to be collected or gathered. So this is a passive, let them be gathered. It's a Joseph passive form. Nifal, I think.
Yes.
So Nifal, Joseph, let be gathered.
And God said, let the water be gathered under the heaven for a place, for one place.
Mm-hmm.
And let the
ground. Mm-hmm.
Be seen.
Right. Let it appear or be seen, right? Mm-hmm.
So it was.
And so it was. Okay, good. So when God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together, collected to one place, toward one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Did we have Yabasha as a yeah, I think we did have it someplace. Okay, so verse 10, unless there's any other questions there. Okay, verse 10, Price.
Vayet Kara, Elohim, Vayevasha, Eretz,
McWay, you're right. Ula McWay.
And God called the, I guess that's the dry land. Or
yes, the dry land. God called the dry land
Earth.
Okay.
And
this is a participle built on that same verb, yikavu, that he had above. And it means the gatherings or the collection, and the collection of the waters.
Okay, and the collection of the waters he called sea or
right.
Water, what
seas? The seas, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was the three-day hall of Kawah.
What's that?
Three-day hall.
I think so. It was a three-day, and it was hollow, and it was an ifal. Yeah, I think you didn't you look that one up for us last time? I think you did, yeah. From Kawa. Mm-hmm. But the mame there is the participle, and the lama there is the preposition because of the idiom of calling to something something, you know. Calling something something, this double object type of thing. Okay, go ahead.
And God saw it was good.
Okay, and God saw that it was good. All right, good. We'll run it through one more time here. And God called the dry land earth, and the collection or gatherings of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. God saw that good it was. Okay, verse 11. Doug. Okay. This verb means to sprout or, you know, sprout forth or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let the earth sprout sprouts, I guess. I don't know what else you can say. That's literally the idea. What does it say in King James? I think. No, it doesn't have to be Niphal here. It's just adjusive, but it's a feminine form. That's where the Tao comes from. It's just an imperfect form, basically. But it's the adjusive type thing. Let the earth bring forth, and the earth is, it should be active, so it would be a call adjusive, probably for third person feminine singular. Oh, Tadshe. Yeah, that's probably because it's adjusive and because it's three aleph, and you get the quiescence there. So your adjusted form is usually short with a segol, and then with the quiescent aleph, it probably lengthens because of that to a segol, or to a theri.
King James says, bring forth grass.
Let the earth bring forth grass, okay.
Yeah,
the next word, well, let's see. Yeah, we had grass or herb or something, yeah. Herb. You've got some interesting expressions here, to say the least. A lot of this is just word study work here, but I guess we'll take it, you know, let the earth sprout sprouts or bring forth sprouts, you know, that which is, they may use the same word for grass too. But I think there was another word for grass, I don't...
Asef,
okay. You know, well, that's for, and we've got it for herb here too. Yeah, it could be. Well, it could be, but this isn't really a construct. Well, you get an ambiguity, I suppose, here because it's a segel, and that the form for construct is the same as for absolute. And without the article there, I guess you kind of have a hard time telling for sure. So either let the earth sprout forth sprouts of grass or herb, but then you've got... Yeah, you almost need to see this is now the subject of this next participle and stuff, so they've got seeding seed here. See, we got zara is seed, and then you have a participle form here, so seeding seed, you know, looks like a hithial participle. So grass seeding or herb seeding seed or yielding seed, something like that. Bringing forth seed, causing seed to be seed. You know, that'd be an interesting one for a word study too. Is how they get a hithio idea from. This could be considered denominative, though. I suppose just, you know, seeding seed. Okay, so the herb seeding seed. In other words, let the earth sprout forth sprouts. The herb seeding seed, that's probably the way you should take it, just because now you have a subject for the seeding there.
Okay,
that's
the tree.
Yep. Just kind of make a pause there, and then this is the other thing, a tree of fruit. And this is from asa, to make or do or produce. You could even translate in this sense. Mm-hmm. So fruit tree making fruit. A little bit redundant. And I don't think we've had this noun before. There's another noun, mean. Lemino is to its kind, or to his kind. After its kind, we would say. Mean here is kind. So to its kind, or according to its kind.
Yeah.
is a little complicated, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, which seed is in it or something, which the seed is in it or something. It doesn't even have the article there, but which his seed is in him. Yeah, and the it would be going back to the antecedents. So I would say, the King James says something, whose seed is in itself or something. You've got kind of this resumptive thing where you've got the suffix on both of these, and you've got an asher, so you've got kind of a genitive idea, though, whose seed, the seed of whom, or the seed of which. Let's see, his seed. Well, that gives you pretty much a genitive idea anyway with the possessive there. So which its seed is in it, or whose seed is in it, itself, something in itself, whose seed is in itself. Huh?
Whose seed is in
itself. I don't think we can improve on that too much. To bring it into English idiom anyway. Make anybody understand it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was so. Okay, good. So that's a more difficult one. And God said, let the earth sprout forth sprouts, or sprout forth grass, or the herb yielding seed, or seeding seed, fruit tree producing fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Okay. Verse 12, then, back to John.
What to say, Ha'aretz, Geshev, Esev, Mazria, Zera, Zemi, Nehu, Uetz, Oseh, Peri, Asher, Zar, O, Bo, Zemi, Nehu, Wayar, Elohim, Kito.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sent forth.
Right. Sent forth, or, yeah, sent forth, shot forth.
Shot forth.
Or bore, or they begin in their bore, but it's the idea of pushing forth, putting forth.
Sent forth. Sprout.
Sprout, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I guess we use it in a kind of pluralized sense.
Right.
Sent forth,
it's
sprout,
a singular noun, but it's
plural. Herb, seed-bearing seed.
Mm-hmm.
Their own kind.
Yeah, or after its kind, according to his kind. So seeding seed, and fruit tree. Tree of fruit, producing fruit after its kind.
I don't have the different ending Ehu on there. Is that just a variation on endings? If it's kind again.
Oh, okay. I've just got
Lemino. Now we have the main.
Yeah, I've got a difference. Let me check this. I've got a difference between the two. Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. I skipped up to the... Okay, that's what happened. Yeah, the Ehu is just after their kind. Yeah, I'm sorry. I my finger didn't move down, and I picked it up in the wrong line, so I was looking at the finger.
After their kind,
yeah. After their kind. It's just referring to the whole group. In other words, referring to the seeding after its seed, the sprouts and the herbs and the trees.
Mm-hmm. And the trees... making fruit, its seed is in it.
After their
kind of
seed. Yeah, I guess we're just pluralizing each one of these categories. That's what's happening. That one can be either the plural or. That's a good point. There was an option on that pronominal on that suffix. Sometimes you did have an ehu. Or a longer form of the suffix, just O or Ehu. So that might be, we better double check that for that suffix. Now, this is not verb suffixes now, we're talking about noun suffixes. And this may be an older. I just want to see if it's the same as the plural was. Because if it is, then we have a potential ambiguity. Well, that would be our. I'm going to have to review that myself here. We haven't played with these for a while. It would probably be, let's see, Jeff, page 86 here. There's only a list of so here, but they might have a statement. Yeah, the a who. Yeah, we did run it into one on the verbs, and that's why I'm wondering. It doesn't really fit so much here, though, in the verb. Mm-hmm. Anu would be our. See? So a who, there's just nothing much else to do with it. I think it's just another form for the masculine singular. It's the only thing that fits. But I guess it really wasn't mentioned here. I thought in one of his notes he might say, sometimes you'll see this. Yeah. Check it in analytical, just see what they do. Maybe somebody's got one handy. Because we did run into it with the verbs. You know, pronominal suffixes, but I think it happens with the nouns too, just not as often.
Therefore,
here
they have a lot of suffixes
here,
really. Shall I enumerate all of them?
All of them for third person?
Third person, he's
seen
the masculine singular.
Hey who?
It's Sholem, hey. It's Wow Sholem. It's hey who, Wow. It's the hey, Shurak.
Okay.
But,
five different things. Okay, lots of variations on it then. Yeah. Yeah, I thought we had it in the book here, but I couldn't find it anyplace. Find it on the other suffixes, but not on the. I thought he had some note someplace. You know, sometimes you'll see this. He usually does on something like that, but
he doesn't have the same suffix for the third person.
I think I know what I was getting that from. It may be just on some of those with the prepositions with the suffixes. They have different forms. Mm-hmm. Someone with the ahu and someone without. So that may have been it. But he doesn't really list it in here. But that is an alternate form of the masculine suffix. It's interesting that you find both forms used in contiguous verses here. In other words, one of them uses the yecholim wow, the other one's using the longer form. It may be because of meter and so forth, too. Okay, good. Yeah, it really wouldn't, now to think of it, it really wouldn't fit with their kind. Well, I suppose you could still, if you particularized it and pluralized it, you could still get a plural on here. But that wouldn't fit really here because it's this is a noun suffix, it's not a verb suffix. And if it were their kind, you know, you just have am probably on the end. Limin am. Okay. Well, we solved that little one. So that's just an alternate form of the singular suffix. After its kind.
God saw that good.
Okay. God saw that good. Good. So, okay. Verse 13 then. Who's in it? Tony, you want to take a crack at that?
Yeah.
Short.
Wayahi,
Erev, Wayahi, Oker, Yom Shalishi. Okay. Yom Shalishi.
Mm-hmm. And it was morning.
Mm-hmm.
Day 3.
Day 3. Okay, good. And Eric, verse 4. Walking verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
Tikriya,
mm-hmm.
Ashamaya, Lohabiti, Ben Hayom, to Ben Alaina, Ayuhu, La Oto, Ul Moabun, Moabun,
Ula Moabim. Okay. That one was Birkia above there. I think we had Bikria.
Yeah,
I didn't correct you, but it was Birkia. Mm-hmm. Okay.
God said, let there be lighting one.
Yeah, lighting one.
Mm-hmm. Light.
Yeah. Luminaries, you might say, or that's what they call it, or, you know, one giving light. So, luminaries.
In the firmament of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
To divine,
mm-hmm.
to cause the divine.
Right.
Between not day and between night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was light. Then it was to light. No, then it was. And it was so.
For signs, oath is sign. You might say again, just let them be. You know, it's again a jussive kind of thing. It's a wuhayu. It's converted perfect, so you've got an imperfect sense. And so you pick up that jussive idea that you started with. And so let them be four luminaries, or four, excuse me, limo. Let's see, let them be four. Signs,
yeah.
For seasons, they give it here. For signs and for seasons. I guess I have to do a word study on that, but I think we'll just take seasons for now. Let them be for signs and for seasons. And for... Okay, this is a little tricky because it's yom has the plural of similar, you know, yamim.
Oh, and
for days. Yeah, and for days. And shanim is, shana is year, of course, so shanim in years. So all these are time periods here. Okay, good. And God said, let there be luminaries in the expanse of the heavens to divide between the day and the night, and let them be for signs. And for seasons, and for days, and for years, or just and for days and years. There's no four in the last one there. Any questions there? Okay. And we start with Wahayu. Yeah, go ahead, Bryce, verse 15.
Wahayu.
Pick up the same thing and let them be that you had before there.
Okay,
right,
let
how you
be,
and let them be
to
this is lights or luminaries again.
Luminaries.
Yeah, let them be maybe let them be four lights or luminaries.
To be for lights in the firmament of the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
to the, I know how here, but I can't recall what it is.
Okay. This is a hiphil form from Or. And so to cause light. It's an infinitive with prepositional lama. It's a hiphil infinitive construct.
To cause light
yeah.
upon the earth.
To cause light upon the earth. And it was so. Okay. So to repeat that, and let them be for luminaries in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Questions, anyone? Okay, verse 16, Doug.
Vayagam.
Vayagam. Mm-hmm.
Alam, Vayagam. Shantari. Namapur. Hagadolim.
Hagadolim. Hagadolim.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta watch the jots and the tittles.
Yeah,
Us is just from Asa. It's the converted Jesuit form there. I mean, it's actually just call it the converted form. Just translated in perfect, you know, and God made. Oh, okay. And God made. Shanae, there's just the number two. Mm-hmm. Two great lights. And we kind of get a pause here.
Yeah,
man. Kind of repeat.
The great line.
Mm-hmm.
The great line.
Right. The light, the great one.
I don't know that really.
Okay, this is from Mashal to rule. And this is a participle. Yeah, to rule. Yeah. Let's see. Lamem Shala, to rule the day. Let me check here. That's what it looks like. Yeah, participle form into the feminine, huh?
To the ruling of the day.
Yeah, for the ruling of the day, or to the ruling of the day.
And the light, the small one, for the ruling of the night.
Right.
And the stars.
Right, and the stars. Okay, good. Any questions there? Kind of an interesting construction where you get the pause. You made the two great lights, and then it just pauses in effect. It says F one and then F the other. You know, one to and one to rule this and one to rule the other. And it's kind of an interesting construction there. Kind of getting those last phrases in apposition to the lights. You know, and the lights, and you got you branch it off there to be an interesting diagram. Diagram that. Okay. Kokavim is stars. Yeah. Kokavim is. And that's kind of added on the end, and the stars. So he made the two great lights, the sun and the moon, basically, and then also the stars. Okay, verse 17. John, back to you.
Vayetein Otan Elohim Birkia Hashemayim Lahair Al Ha'aretz.
Okay.
And he gave them, and God gave them, in the firmament.
Mm-hmm.
In the firmament of the heavens.
Right. This is that hiphil infinitive again. To give light, to cause light.
Oh, I see. to give forth light upon the earth.
Good. That yatin there, you could, you know, nathan means to give, but it's also sometimes given in the sense of to set or place. That's a verb that's got quite a broad use. And so, you know, he gave them into the expanse of the heavens. We usually don't think of, we don't usually say it that way in English, but the idea of setting or placing something would be appropriate here. And he said, and God placed them or gave them into the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. Okay.
I'm in the chair of the class. I looked up that word back in verse 14 that we were wondering about, who the Mo'adim.
Yes.
And of course, seasons is not at all improper for it. A set time or a season. But it can also, it's also used for the root of it is Ya'ad, from which we also get like the swarm of bees, congregation, Eda. I mean, festival days. Together, assembly, congregation, festival, solemn feast, to meet together at an appointed time and day.
Ah, that's interesting.
So he set the lights.
That's interesting.
See, that's why I said the whole thing. Really just going, ooh.
Yeah, and to give light on the earth, the whole thing, the typology is just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's real good. See, that's one of the things about reading this in the Hebrew. You'll be sensitized to connections that you wouldn't have been otherwise. There's a thought I had here too about just some of the technicalities of this. It's interesting that he says he sets the stars in the expanse. It's the language is, you know, he kind of gives them into the expanse. It's almost as though he's got them over here and he puts them into this position, which is kind of interesting too. Normally we'd think of if we think of the expanse as just the empty space in the universe, and then he's introducing these objects into that space is kind of an interesting concept.
He's giving it to, and it's to shine light on earth, of whom the world is not worthy.
Yeah, exactly. If you think of it spiritually, you know, there's darkness, empty space, as it were, and he's giving into that darkness these lights. Ties you into those gifts. You know, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Oh, we can go on and on here. Yeah. Okay. We are forcing ourselves to continue here, but there's a lot. Verse 18. Go ahead, Tony. William Shaw. Okay.
Bayon.
Uvalila. 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 Okay. Don't mention it. Here's another fun one. Okay. Ula Havdil. Ula Havdil. Okay. Uvain, Achoshek. Achoshek. Just be thankful there's not a cough and a cough in there too. Well, there is a cough and a cough at the end. All we need is a cough to get all the breathing sounds there. Havdil there is to divide.
Okay, and divide.
So, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide or separate. And then you've got the bane here, separate between or divide between.
Between the light
and
between the darkness.
The darkness, right. Oh, I guess you didn't. Okay.
Because he did take those Shavuot in the
cup,
the final cup, I think that's the...
Oh, yeah, the Sof Pasuk. Yeah, that's probably what you did.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the rest of it is the same thing.
Yeah. Okay, and God saw that it was good. By Yar Elohim Kitov. Mm-hmm. Nice to have at least some recurring patterns there, so you see something familiar.
Hope at the end.
Okay. Well, verse 19 then. Question. Go ahead.
I got these little notes in this version I have in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I was before. There's one on verse 18 on that. Where is it? 2 to 5.
Mm-hmm. Probably a variance.
Variance or something.
I think so. Is the same thing like carry or kathiv?
A cope carry when they indicate cope. Verse 18,
see, they make a distinction. The Masoretes put in notes, and they probably were preserving the Masoretes notes there.
Because
when they did the Masoretic text, you see, they had things that they suspected were manuscript problems, but they didn't change anything in the text. So instead, they put something down as a footnote saying, you know, that. Yeah. If you got that. If anybody's got Biblia, brain, guys, they've got better notes.
There's nothing there
in that one. Though. Well,
Well,
just hope you never have to research that. End up with a. We really need to have a whole, you know, research done on manuscripts in the Old Testament. Because most scholars don't do anything with it because there aren't that many and they're not worried about it as far as theology is concerned and so forth. But
Snaith,
let's see what I've got here.
You got that one, verse 18.
Yeah, in verse 18. Yeah, and it looks like the same thing you've got there. Yeah, but this one's got a psalmic and then two little dots in the aleph. And yours, it's probably a psalmic also, but they've crammed it together so bad that, the other part of the stomach is invisible.
They've got notes like that throughout names.
Yeah.
Those two dots are always in there. They've got iron, those two things, and olive.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's a one little slash instead of two. Well, I'll have to confess I'm not privy to that.
Carry at the end of most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, that's a tough topic for manuscript. We really need to get into that. Somebody needs to get into that and ferret that all out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something. It's something that's going to take some time. You know, there's some of the others that I'm not sure what that little symbol is. It shows up in different places.
Yeah.
There must be some technical symbol that they're using. The Masoretes used. Then you've got that kof there with the little slash after it. That's almost certainly for carry. But, we will have to. Maybe that'll stimulate some interest here to get into that. Some of the Hebrew books never mention, you know, so, you know, your grammar books and things, so we have to go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, nobody's given the explanation, so. It's probably in the beginning. Now, I don't know. These guys are more sophisticated, so they probably don't have a simple notation. So you can probably, you know, the explanation's probably in here if you can find the right language.
Yeah, online. stuck in the doctor, I think he's talking about these days. Mm-hmm. And what, yeah.
Oh.
Did the Sabbath, and we're supposed to be in the Sabbath.
If you hear it, you have a single question mark over here.
Well,
there's
some radiation or something.
Yeah,
you carry it.
Got some kind of lots of radiation.
Somebody, if you've got the time, should try to track that down. See if we can find out what those two little slash marks is and the single slash mark on those notes. We knew that. Okay. Yeah,
I've seen it before. I've seen it in my report.
Mm-hmm. We do need to
check that.
Mm-hmm. So we've got this one here, Samech, with two slashes and Aleph.
Yeah.
That's the one we want to check on. That's probably in there. Where was that chart again?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You didn't find Samech with the Aleph.
There's another one back here where they do a notation before the verse. Usually it has the verse number and then the symbol, mm-hmm. then the word, and then this case, 19, but there's another one back here further where they put a K and a symbol of a line, then the verse number, and then the word.
You know, it may be trying to indicate a variation in the punctuation. Because the Samech here, I couldn't find the Samech Aleph, but the other two where there is the Samech is both Sof Pasuk is one of them. And it may be an indicator of punctuation variation. That's my suspicion here. In other words, this could be saying something in fact that some of the editors put the Sof Pasuk here and some put there, or some kind of
variation on that. Some of these may get into the various accents too. These all these little tiny accents that nobody wants to mess with, and that may be part of the problem too. Well, we'll have to leave that open here and do some more research on it. If anybody comes up with it, sure, let us know. If you find a good source that lays them all out for us and explains it simply, that's the big problem, though. Nobody seems to want to do that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you did. Well, as far as the notes are concerned themselves, these notes, both in yours and in Snaith and so forth, these standard ones, these simple ones, are the ones the Masoretes put in. And then, of course, with Biblia Hebraica, they're getting all kinds of additional things in, you know, beyond that. You know, comparing it to the Septuagint or to the Samaritan Pentateuch, a lot of these other sources. But the Masoretes put in their Kerei Ketiv, their what's written... is in the text, and then what's read. See, they felt like there was some variation, so they would read a different thing, and they put that in the margin because they didn't dare tamper with the text. So I think that's the basic thing. But as far as the details of these notes and the symbols that they're using here, that's where we have a problem.
Just noticed over in 2:4.
Mm-hmm.
You see the little tiny K in there. Yeah. Almost in the middle. There's a
base
and then a small
hay
with a
hieroglyph.
Yeah, not like that.
Oh, yes, I see it now, too. Yeah.
Michael
Hay. Mm-hmm. There are some other things, too, where a mame is stretched out.
They do that
big, long one at the end.
The end is the pair of the
did you,
word.
all come out to the market. I've seen them do that.
Oh, is that right? Just for printing?
Yeah, they'll do it to a Sade. They'll do it just about any letter.
Okay.
Stretch them out.
Yeah.
For some reason, I guess they have to hit the left-hand margin.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't figure out why they've also got this comic double mark all the first alignment set.
Yeah, that one's got a bait stomach. It's Birkia there. That's yeah. Well.
Oh,
Birvia. Okay, maybe there's a variation. Is up in verse 11? Is Birkia in verse 11 in the text? Maybe not.
No.
Nope. Well, there goes that theory. There may be numbers involved here, too. With Aleph, it may be number one or something. In other words, it may be trying to key which word in the sentence is the variant on or something like that. Because if you just put this down here, you don't know what word it's substituted for or anything else. Uh-huh. Well, we've got a good mystery there. I don't know why we've never dug into that before. We just needed Doug to come along and ask the question. Most of the time, we're so troubled with just the Hebrew text that we not even worry about the variation. Yeah, we need to find some source that will explain that. I don't know if I can't really suggest anything real quickly, but Biblia Hebraica is nice, but it's so encumbered. It's really hard to find information quickly and simply. That's why we need somebody to go through and really translate all that into a document that can be used.
It goes so pursuit, Aleph would be the first word of the following sentence, probably, begins with, and then it gives the word.
That's possible. I think it's got to be something in terms of numbering so that you can tell which one it is.
If you turn to page 8, chapter 6, you've got the verse 3, and then that so pursuit, probably. And then if that so pursuit would end the sentence. And Aleph would be made considered the number one. In other words, the first word that the following sentence of the next sentence is, and the Kiryat Rishonah, which is in verse 3 right now. And I've also got one down here in chapter 9, verse 29. And it's a real simple one. But it's Wayahi, is what they got in the footnote, and they got Wayahu. In the text,
mm-hmm.
It's got that little circle right above the word, that little clear circle.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to mark the manuscript variant, a little circle that shows up every time that little notation shows up. And then there's a changed spelling in that case. In the case in 111, it looks like probably a completely different word within the text instead of however that one was in 111. They mark it always the same way.
That little circle with the footnote, and that seems to be the word they're footnoting as a variant. Mm-hmm.
Mine has a big asterisk on it.
Okay, they may have some variations in the way they do that.
Yeah, one on what?